I tend to see things beyond what the physical could see. So it's what we call metaphysical.
Metaphysical, okay.
That's right. I don't know who to turn to and who to talk to as a child. So when I start seeing things, for example, so I would have prophetic dreams about things happening to family members, that they will actually fall sick or go to the hospital or even death.
Since we started chatting, Kai has been rolling the cameras already.
Okay.
We've already been recording.
Okay.
So you know, so it's easier for us to roll right in. Hi, everybody, and welcome back to the Chris Hansen Conversation. This is episode 5, and we are still having the I love my job as the topic of the day. And, you know, every time, and this has been going on for a bit, we've been talking a lot about and hearing a lot about, especially out there in the news and mainstream, about people taking risks, people taking or making mid-career changes, and the fear of wanting to just step out of your comfort zone, shifting your paradigms, and going into something that you love and try to build something out of practically almost nothing. And that's the reason why I have this show. I love my job on the Chris Hansen Conversation. And, you know, if you're one of those out there thinking about making that move, this could just be the episode for you to really watch. Because why? In my studio today, I have with me someone who is a, wait for it, wellness consultant. She was not always that. Let me tell you, and we'll find out soon. She is also a life coach, a yoga and meditation teacher. She's coached a significant number of people on the art of self-awakening and realization, helping people achieve their physical, emotional, and mental well-being and realizing their full human potential. Someone like me needs someone like her. And she is also the co-founder of Redefine Wellness. Welcome to the studio, Shirley Tay.
Thank you so much, Chris, for your invitation and your very kind introduction.
Not at all. And I want to ask, I seem to always say that. I use that word so often. I want to ask.
Uh-huh.
And that's the reason why I'm here, because I always like to ask things, ask people about things. In this whole thing that I just read, realizing full, the person realizing the full human potential. Can you tell me, what's the definition of that? What do you mean by full human potential?
Well, there are different aspects of us that we may not have fully realized. So, for example, when I was a headhunter, I thought that...
Hang on a minute. So, okay. Past life.
You mean that past life, yeah. It's a headhunter.
You were a headhunter.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Another one. Season 2, I had... Mutual friend of ours, right?
Yes.
Physician. Allison, I'm doing you a favor. Screw those damn doctors, man. Dr. Allison Tay. That's why I will always call her that, Dr. Allison Tay. TCM or not, I don't care what the Western doctor's going to say.
Yes.
Screw it, I'm saying it. So mutual friend of ours, she was also a headhunter.
That's right. That's
right.
Yeah. We met about... I think we know each other for more than 20 years now.
So how is it that headhunters... are the ones that's willing or daring enough to make career switches midlife?
Yeah, because we have the opportunity to meet people from all walks of life, to hear the story, and to actually see how they grow and make career change switches.
Right.
And we just realized that there is really no limit to one's potential. Okay, so on that basis, I thought I was already talented in that aspect of my life because my specialization is actually in industrial. So everything, all the industry from aerospace to zoology comes under
your purview. You know,
yes.
Okay.
And so we have to actually learn quite a bit about different industry.
Okay.
And I thought, I love my job back then because I cannot imagine doing anything else.
Okay, so you love that.
I really love it, the job. I love it because I love meeting people.
Okay.
I love talking to people. I love understanding them.
Then don't mind my asking, why the career switch then? If you love that job.
Well, that's why your question, right? Full human potential. But I realized that what else can I do? Because one day when I actually woke up, literally, I was doing relatively well in my life.
Okay.
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 But I just feel something is missing.
Okay.
And I just cannot pinpoint. And literally one day when I actually woke up looking at the mirror, I actually saw like a candle as a reflection.
And was it figuratively speaking, or did you feel or sense something?
No, seriously. Like it was a flash. Okay. No, so intuitively, I started to ask myself, you know, it's just like a candle burning.
Okay.
Am I burning my life away?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So, and I started because even though I love my job, but like I said, there is this, you know, subtle emptiness within me.
Okay.
I love my family.
Right.
Again, again, something is missing and I really cannot pinpoint what is it.
Okay.
Yeah. And I didn't know it was fulfillment.
Wow. You know that word, man, that word. She haunts me, Dr. Geraldine Tan. When I had her here and we, long story cut short, you can watch the episode from season two. And I asked her what constitutes happiness. And she said, and I said this so many times over so many episodes. And it seems to me that I always have to keep recounting that conversation I had with her because people seem to be saying the same thing. And it means you've been right, Jerry. And the word you just used, happiness is having found fulfillment. You know, and every time I hear someone say that to me, I somehow feel envious, man. Because I think it's a very big word.
Well, fulfillment. I didn't know that. Seriously. So back then, I was just saying that something is missing. Everything is going on well, but something is missing. I didn't know. It's only after I started the spiritual journey of self-realization that I understood it was actually fulfillment that was missing.
Okay, let me, wait. Sorry, I have to keep stopping you, man. Because, you know, when you say certain things and when any of my guests say certain things and certain words pop up, like what you just said, spiritual.
Yeah.
You don't mean that from a religious perspective, do you?
No, I don't. Okay. So it's exactly the opposite. So traditionally, when people talk about religion, okay, it is prior to this current new age, okay? The religion is actually educating people about God. Okay. And people back then, okay, the conscious level is still not so ready yet.
Yeah.
They are seeking God externally, somewhat.
Okay.
Idealization or learning from somebody something.
Okay.
Spirituality is going within and seeking God from within. So it is a complete opposite.
Okay.
Okay. So spirituality is literally awakening and finding that inner God or that inner guru or teacher.
Okay. I will not press that one any further because I will have my debates with you about that. Just to have one say on this particular point before we move on to the next, I would tend to disagree with that. I would think that finding spiritually, I mean, even in a religion or any faith, it is really a lot of self-reflection as well. There's a lot of reflective things that we do. I'm Catholic, so I'm saying that, However, that being said, I think what I get what you mean, the realization, wouldn't it actually come down to being more emotional that you discover that, you know, I think there's something missing in my life. I want to feel happy every day that when I wake up in the morning and I go to work and I feel that this is something I really, really want to do, you know? That's why I'm curious because when you were in, in your HR job and you loved that job, and then you decided that, how long ago was this when you decided to make the switch?
18 years.
Wow. You mean you made the switch for 18 years already?
So I make the switch when I, you mean after I left my corporate?
Yeah.
So I left the corporate world when I was 35. Mm-hmm. So, and then I branched into full-time wellness.
Right.
About 7 years later.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you so there was a transition. First. I went to learn first. So it wasn't an instant jump. Instant switch.
But at that 35, when you decided to make that switch, I'm pretty sure that there were responsibilities. You know, there were financial responsibilities, children to raise, for instance. I'm sure, right?
So let me just share, you know, that's how it got me into this journey. So earlier on, you mentioned that you are very skeptic. You know, and I
not very skeptical. No. I am not a skeptic, to be honest. I am skeptical about maybe certain points,
sure,
but not everything.
Okay, yeah. Sorry.
So I'm not entirely skeptical. No.
Okay, sorry about that.
No.
I was actually quite a psychic as a child.
Okay, now that's interesting. Now my ears are pricking up under my cans. Yeah.
So as a child, I tend to see things. I tend to see things beyond what the physical could see. So,
oh boy.
Yeah. So what you cannot see beyond the physical, it's what we call metaphysical.
Metaphysical. Okay.
That's right.
Okay.
So I didn't, so I don't know who to turn to and who to talk to as a child. So when I start seeing things, then when I actually give feedback to my mom, for example, so I would have prophetic dreams about things happening to family members, that they will actually fall sick or go to the hospital or even death.
Okay.
Okay. So, but when I actually said that to my parents, they would say, hey, you know, like, don't talk about this, you know, this is
taboo.
Yeah.
Taboo subjects. Yeah.
But it has actually proven that weeks or months later, the event will happen. And I would have like deja vu scenes, you know, when things happen, events happen, I would have this, oh, I thought I dreamt of this. So, I thought I saw this in my dream. Or there are flashbacks.
So you've been having this since you were a child.
Yes. But so it was actually shut down. I didn't actually know what to do with it because there was no one else I could talk to.
Right.
And our family is not particularly religious, although, you know, my grandparents are like just Taoists or, you know, they go to like temples.
Right.
But we don't have a specific discipline or a practice.
Or a faith or a ritual.
That's right.
Right.
So fast forward, you know, in my young adult up to the teenagers time, I was actually dreaming of world events. So I was dreaming world like events like tsunamis or even earthquake way before the event happened.
Oh my goodness. And I've got Singapore's version of Nostradamus.
No, in fact, I was actually, and I didn't know because when I actually like hear from the news and I thought, hey, didn't I had that dream like 2 weeks ago? So it's always like 2 weeks before a world event happened.
Right.
And again, I just kept quiet.
So how frequently do you actually have these?
Sporadic.
It's sporadic, right?
It's sporadic. So it's not something that I would actually predict or think of. No. So it just comes sporadically, which is like I don't exactly, because we are not exposed to any religion studies, so I don't know what was that.
But so, deja vu, like for instance, I think, don't you think that quite a lot of us, well, now I know what you mean by the full human potential. Now I get it. I'm just about to tell you, I mean, some of us, or most people actually, would have a certain amount of intuition.
Yes.
Is that the right word to use, intuition?
Absolutely.
Like, for example, I can never forget this one. Two things. For me, it's songs. Let me share this with you. Songs, yeah?
Yeah.
For example, if you remember Potato Head Rick Astley and his song Together Forever, I heard the song in my head a couple of days before it came out to the public sphere.
Right.
And then the song about, what is the title of the song? Make it loud, make it clear. I still recall the words. I still recall the morning. I can't remember the title of the song. When my father passed away, I didn't have the feeling, no, of the things I had to say. So when that song came out, right, I heard it in my head. And it happened just after I lost my dad. And that time, The Living Years, that's the title of the song, The Living Years.
Yes.
So for me, it's that, is these things. It's music, it's songs.
Right.
Right. That I hear. I can wake up in the morning with a tune in my head.
Right.
You know, and that tune, somehow I hear it again on the day itself or the next day, it will just pop out.
Right.
But don't you think every one of us have that intuition? It's some kind of intuitive, if you will, intuitive sense.
Absolutely. And later on, when I start go into deeper studies, I realized I was tapping into the collective, or what we call the universal consciousness.
Wow.
So we have a different level of conscious state of mind.
Yeah.
So when you actually go beyond the delta state, that is the collective consciousness.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I have another vertical that we call UFO Reveal Asia.
Mm-hmm.
I am the only UFO show in Asia in the English medium because it covers the topic.
Okay,
yeah.
Top.
And there is a group in the US led by this guy, this doctor named Dr. Stephen Greer. Okay, and he led this Close Encounters 5 group, and this collective consciousness.
Right,
they gather them in the desert, and then they start omning.
Mm-hmm.
And then things started coming, appearing in the sky.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was covered on Netflix, by the way.
Okay.
So we talk about collective consciousness, that comes to mind. But I know where you're going to go with this. You're going to tell me about the different states of consciousness, from the alpha to the beta to the theta to the delta states.
That's
correct?
Right. Yep.
Yeah. So, okay, we'll talk about that later on. Yeah. Let's get back to you now. Again. So you left your job. You felt that you've got this, always had this gift.
Okay. Let me just share with you.
Sure.
It actually started with, you know, Deepak Chopra says that, you know, in all change is presided by some chaos.
Okay.
Yeah. So when I actually saw the scene of the candle, I actually start asking myself, what exactly is the purpose of life? Because at 35, I'm already a mother of one.
Mm-hmm.
And I was doing relatively well in my career.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And things are just very stable at home. Okay. So one fine day, and again, overnight, okay, everything collapsed and I lost everything.
Oh dear.
Yes. So that was actually what happened. So, you know, I was separated from 15 years of marriage.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, not at all. It not turned out to be the most beautiful thing in my life. Yeah, I'll tell you why.
Okay.
And then my father had a heart attack as a result of that separation. At that time. He actually left. So 1 month right after my ex-husband left us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I lost all the money as well, all the life savings.
Man, that
sucks, man. And at that time, I also had some career struggles.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I was headhunted into a new job place to set up a new team.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some management changes. Mm. And then I was actually left alone in a new environment in a new job.
So basically, you were kind of brought into some place and you were stranded. Kind of.
So because at the personal front, I was actually met with all these changes.
Yeah.
And then at the same time, I was in a new environment.
Yeah.
Yeah. So all of the three, those were, in fact, my three main pillars of my life, because my dad is my emotional mentor.
Yeah.
So, and I lost everything overnight.
Hang on a second. Your dad, how did he do? Is he okay?
So he was actually a dialysis patient for over 20 years.
Right.
I was supporting him, you know, financially.
But after the heart attack, did he recover?
No. He died.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
He died from the heart attack. So that's why I said that, you know, there was a separation,
really a loss.
There was death, yeah, and money lost.
Right.
And career challenges at that moment.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And then I was,
How old was were you one kid?
My kid was 10 years old then.
Oh,
right now, she's 26.
Okay.
I have a 26 years daughter.
All right. All right. That's cool. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah. But at that time, my goodness, turmoil. Man.
Yeah, turmoil, turmoil. So again, I was actually devastated.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I don't allow myself to actually go into depression.
Okay.
Okay. So the only way to describe it was every part of me was in pain except my hair.
Oh.
So I was going to, so I lost a lot of weight. I, you know, it got manifested into a lot of physical symptoms. Okay. And then I went to, you know, Western doctors just to get some painkillers. And after mm-hmm. that, I realized that it was just trying to fix my symptom. Mm-hmm. Then I go to a TCM doctor. And right. that's when the TCM doctor very kindly told me that mm-hmm. what I need is actually emotional healing.
Right.
I told our dear friend, Dr. Allison Tay, mm-hmm. back then, you know, mm-hmm. she was still my colleague. And she actually told me about meditation, about alternative, you know, medical, you know, meditation. And that's when I actually got into interested in holistic alternative healing.
Okay.
And then I was thinking at the site, I said that all this thing happened too drastically, too fast. And I have no logic reason to all the irrational things that was happening because the separation was just very illogical. I didn't see it coming at all.
Okay.
Okay. But, for, you know, backtrack a little. The night before mm-hmm. my wedding, mm-hmm. okay, 15 years ago, before I got married to this my ex-husband, there right. was a voice that says, "You're going to divorce this man." I said, "Why did you only tell me now? Tomorrow is the wedding and yeah. you're telling me now."
Right.
Yeah.
So when that's you hear no, this voice.
I hear a voice, like literally a voice. And I don't know what that
in
voice.
In your ear?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And it was a very, it's not a scary voice.
Yeah.
It was a very solemn and a very deep, warm voice that tell me, "You are going to divorce this man." So I was throughout the marriage, I was very careful. Mm. I was very watchful because it was almost like a warning for me.
Okay.
So our relationship were good. Okay. Very good. So when, yeah.
This
so,
is really a shot out of the blue.
Yes, it was out of the blue. Very shock. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I'm so sorry to hear all
no,
this.
No, not no, at
thank
all.
Thank you for but, sharing, really.
Yeah, but that actually gave me the greatest strength, in fact. So overnight, so as I told you, by 35, I could literally retire by 40 because that was our plan. Just to share how well, in my head, my milestone, I thought I can retire by 40 and we will go around the world to tour.
Because you guys were financially yes. going to be very independent.
Very.
Okay.
Very. Yeah, we have no debt. I had no debt mm-hmm. at 35. But overnight, I lost everything,
mm.
including my life savings. Mm. So it was, yeah. So that got me started in...
So you were looking for relief.
I was looking to get myself back. So yeah, when things collapse, for a relief.
To recover. Yes.
To recover, basically.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So from the trauma, because that is really my first ever. Okay. So when I was 14, mm-hmm. when my dad falls sick, that mm-hmm. was my first trauma.
Right.
But again, in every trauma, there was always a voice within me that says, "This is going to make you stronger." And it is this voice that kept me going.
Mm.
So again, when this cathartic event happened to me at 35, I told myself, "This is going to be stronger." You mentioned about the song earlier on. And interestingly, when this trauma happened, a song came up, "You Raise Me Up."
Mm.
I have never heard, I mean, like Josh regularly. Groping. Yes. Yeah. And the song keep playing in my mind, "You Raise Me Up."
Mm.
So it was the song that actually say, okay, just intuitively, I couldn't explain that.
Right.
And I just know that things happen for a reason and I need to know why. So a part of me, the resilient part of me, so there were split parts of me at that moment. One moment, I was really distraught, like mm-hmm. really speechless. I planned my life well.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I was very hardworking.
Yeah.
yeah, I do things the right way. Okay. You know, I was doing a lot of charity, you know, when, you know, my life was
going
well.
All the well laid out plans just didn't turn out to be well laid out somehow.
And I didn't plan for this divorce.
Yeah.
So, but when it happened, intuitively, I just thought, okay, this voice that was telling me 15 years ago, this has happened now.
Okay.
Yeah. So, long story short, I began to actually, the first stop was actually a past life regression because I thought it may not be this life. It could be karma from a previous life that got me started.
Okay. Past life regression. Okay. 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 Everybody, just in case y'all don't know, for those of you who really don't know, I will tell you now and I will tell Shirley. Years and years and years ago, just to help myself, much like you, looking for some amount of healing, I attended a program and I came out certified master clinical hypnotherapist.
Amazing.
I do understand some of the things you talk about or will be talking about, but there's one thing I don't ever want to do. Because deep down in my heart and in my spirit, in my soul, I stay very faithful to my faith. And one thing I do not do is past life regression. But for the benefit of this episode, maybe you can tell all of our listeners and viewers what that is.
Well, in my experience, not going into details, but in that short span of like 2.5 hours with the therapist, I visited 4 past life, because one of the things is that, I truly believe that we are here to learn a lesson. And what exactly was the lesson? And I don't know. And when the therapist command to actually invite my spirit guide, again, I only know it intellectually, what a spirit guide is. I have no clue how it would look like. I actually like saw the most beautiful thing that I've ever seen in light form. The light, I mean, in light form.
Your spirit guide, basically.
My spirit guide, but in light form. But it's so beautiful. You just know it in your being that that is the spirit guide. So we communicated telepathically. And the guide told me what exactly was the lesson. So it was the most transformative experience, transformative spiritual experience for me that actually, you know, allow me to see life in from a higher perspective.
Okay.
Yep.
Right.
So that got
my journey. I'm not going to ask you because it's too private, I would suppose, about what these past lives were. But you've learned some things from these.
That's right. So there were certain common patterns. So long story short, again, it is not a belief system.
Right.
Okay. Past life, there is a difference between past life regression and past life regression therapy.
Okay.
Past life regression is almost creating an awareness of things happening in a certain sequence. So, for people who don't believe, you can actually say that it could be your subconscious mind making up some story. But the storyline actually has a similar pattern to the things that are happening in your current life. And I'll tell people, how do you know whether it is from your, did you make it up or not? The difference is how you feel about it.
But that would be something contentual, isn't it? I mean, is reframing something that's occurred in the past. But it's in this life.
Yes. So, so the people go with a, what is the presenting issue?
Right.
Okay. And then they go in to actually find their own answers.
Right.
So, the story that we actually visited has got a similar storyline. Okay. And then again, it, we may not be able to see this in our
but
current life, but somehow it is repetitive. It is a repetitive pattern and you're not getting it.
Right.
You know, so it's almost like a student not learning the exam and you're coming back, you know, to retake your exam.
Yeah.
So different classroom, same lesson.
Right. But when you've discovered your lessons then.
Yep.
Let's get back to your journey. Okay. You discovered the lessons you've learned through past life regression.
Yes.
Hypnotherapy.
Yes.
Right? Under hypnosis, you've learned all that. Then you, then what happened after that?
Then I started understanding, okay, what exactly is the purpose? So I started this self-discovery. Okay, then what? I need to heal myself because I'm still crying very emotional.
Right.
And a part of me says, okay, I need to stay strong for my mom and my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started learning meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And again, fast forward at about close to a year, I was a different person.
Right.
I became very calm, and I was able to rise above my emotion and get my life back.
And all doing this, throughout all of these,
right.
You know, having gone for past life regression, and then, you know, that 1 year has gone by, then you got better and better and better,
yes.
Right? Just in summary, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Were you working?
Yes, I was. So I was working in the corporate. And
still.
At the same time, yes,
yeah.
I was working. And I actually continue to learn that meditation technique,
mm-hmm.
Connecting with my soul origin. And I actually got to align and so well with my purpose because I really become a different person.
Oh, boy. Okay, wait.
Okay.
What the fuck? Okay, soul origin. What's that?
When I meditate, I actually connected to my higher self. So I got...
Okay.
Okay.
Right.
No.
I'm willing to listen, man. I'm willing to listen. Yeah. Just explain to me.
Yeah. So the meditation technique that I actually learned was actually Kundalini Reiki.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So it's a form of meditation where we actually meditated to awaken... our, what we call the soul.
Okay.
Within us.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So there was a lot of soul healing.
Okay.
Okay. In short, you know, just for simplicity.
Uh-huh. Where did this method come from?
So this is discovered by a Danish meditation master.
Right, right.
Okay. Ole Gabrielsen.
Okay.
So I learned from my teacher back then who learned from him.
Right.
So,
right.
And, it was actually supposed to basically channel that energy through you and again... awaken your soul.
Okay.
So that was the beginning of my awakening journey.
Okay.
Okay. So 1 year down the line, I was literally transformed quite relatively from where I was.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because the past life regression helped me understand what was my purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, how do I continue this journey?
Okay.
So this Kundalini Reiki actually helped me, propelled me and manage my emotion and my state of mind. Okay,
right.
What it does is very practical.
Uh-huh.
It keeps me calm.
Uh-huh.
It keeps me clear-headed what I needed to do. Okay? And within this 1 year, I started learning, again, trying to get myself healed in different modality. And I was interested in the past life regression because it really got me intrigued. Because at that time, there's something that, because I was skeptical,
right.
I relate to one of my character that I was in the past life regression to my daughter. And I didn't know that she actually Googled the character and told me, Mom, I know who you are. I know your name. I know you were in this era. I was like, how did you know? And when I read the character in Wikipedia, it was a Qing Dynasty princess.
Wow.
And the storyline was exactly what I saw. And I'm only giving her certain selling points.
Right.
And she actually Googled based
and
on that.
And then she found it.
And she found it.
So there seems to be some uncanny coincidence, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right.
So that got me actually really intrigued.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was how I actually went to study further. And I said, I need to know more. I need to investigate more. So for me, I'm always very curious.
Right.
Even though I am what you call intuitive, but I also have a very logical mind.
Okay.
And I always want to find logical answers.
Okay.
So while I was in the corporate, I started...
To learn more.
On the side. In fact, it is purely earlier on, just to help myself.
You started off the blogs, looking for something to heal you. Then you've discovered that, hey, it's really helping me.
Yes.
So I want to learn more.
That's right.
Did you get at that point into the stage where you say to yourself, I'm going to get more knowledge of this. And then you throw yourself into more and more modalities of wellness, so to speak.
Right.
And upon which you've made at that point that you decide that I am going to leave this corporate world and go into this area upon which I have just discovered that I am good at?
Yes, I did. It was, okay, what happened was that coincidentally, almost after a year after I learned that Kundalini Reiki that helped me so much, my teacher says that she wants to specialize because there were two school of Reiki, one right. Kundalini and one Yusui Reiki.
Okay.
And she said, okay, I'm going to give up teaching Kundalini Reiki. So she asked among her students who is willing to take this up. And right. I just raised my hand without knowing like what that means. Because in my heart, I just feel there was a very strong, compelling reason. I said, if this can actually help me so much, I am going to help others with this too.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't think of doing it as a full-time.
Right.
Because to me, a logical, next step is to actually feed myself first.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And so, but 1 year later, I started teaching that. And my first experience of teaching that class, I was really so amazed because when I was at the, I didn't know how to teach, to be honest. But when I actually sat down, there was this inner knowing that flew down that says, I'm here for this. Like, this is my purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was an inner knowing that, like, I'm born to do this, not in an egoistic way.
Sure, but I understand.
Like, I'm here. There was an inner knowing that says, I am here for this.
Mm-hmm. You just felt that this is where I belong.
This is where I belong.
What I'm meant to do, where I'm meant to be.
It felt like the real me.
Okay.
It feels very strange because I was still very curious.
But it felt right.
It felt right. And for the first time, I felt fulfilled.
Okay. And then from that point in your life, you decided that I'm going to plan a day, a point in this journey where I'm going to leave my corporate job.
Yes.
Okay. Give my middle finger to the bosses. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. You're so nice. Sometimes when I get a little mischievous, I feel quite bad. Sorry about that. But anyway,
no problem.
Give the middle finger to the bosses and then after that, leave the job and go to something that you finally found fulfillment in, which is this.
Exactly.
Okay. I when you started doing these classes, when you were teaching these classes, when you first started, my curiosity is this. Right now, congratulations on the opening of your new wellness center.
Thank you.
For Redefine Wellness.
Thank you.
Hey Kai, can we just play that for a bit, please? They've just opened, ladies and gentlemen, on the 8th of March, which is just like, good grief. That was 2 days ago, right?
2 days ago.
No. The reason why I'm showing this video is because I've got a question to ask. Is this meant just for women?
Sorry?
Is this center and Redefined Wellness meant just for ladies?
No.
But he says, discover your feminine energy.
Well, we have both feminine and masculine energy in us, both men and women. And to be honest, when I first started, my classes is about 90% women, 10% men.
Okay.
But now, it is 50-50.
Okay.
Yeah. So why? Because the women feel after the transformation, they get their spouses in.
So you say, someone like me, for example, I come to you because, Chris, you got to get in touch with your feminine side.
Of course.
You're shitting me.
No.
Look at me, man. Come on. Do you think I'm going to go find out? But Chris, what's your feminine side?
Chris, when you are teaching.
Yeah.
You are nurturing, and that is the feminine side.
Oh, that's what you mean.
Exactly.
Okay. So, all my friends who are male teachers in schools, and you are very much in touch with your feminine side. Okay, I'm not making fun of it. I am. I'm only kidding. So, that's what you meant. So, basically, you're saying that even all genders, men included, come in there, fine, get in touch with feminine side. But why? Why do you specify specifically that it is about discovering the feminine energy?
Because the feminine energy is the creative part of yourself.
Duh.
Yeah.
Creative.
Creative. Creative.
I am intuition. A creative guy.
Exactly. So you have a lot of feminine energy. So when you're creative, you're intuitive. That is the femininity that we're talking about.
The next time I shall wear a wig. Okay. No, I'm not belittling how powerful women are. Don't get me wrong. International Women's Day just went past. And no way am I saying that, yeah. But looking at myself, really? I mean, all this time, all these years has been my feminine energy?
Yes.
All right. Yeah. All right. So when you started into this, it became a business for you. Was it a job first that it became a business or?
No. So in fact, it was a transition. So again, it took me 7 years.
Okay.
But again, when I lost everything, I actually told myself. So after I dabbled into all of that, I started feeling that this is my calling.
Right.
For this life. Mm. So how do I actually fulfill that? Mm. And when I was actually looking at it, I said, okay, so how do I get onto this path in the shortest possible time?
Okay.
So I need to get my financial, stable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I set myself a financial goal for 5 years.
Right.
And I said, regardless of what, this is the amount. 5 years later, once I achieve, I'm going to switch. And I achieved the goal in 4 years.
Okay. And when you achieved that goal, you meant that you became that person. You became that person you set out to be in this field.
So for the 5 years, I actually left the corporate and set up my own executive search company.
So you didn't go work for someone. You actually started a business.
I started executive search company on my own.
Executive search. Okay. On
That's
your
right.
own. Yeah.
Yeah. The headhunting consultancy.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And then by the side, so that I could have the flexibility of time to actually harness my skills in healing.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was the intention. So the transition time was like 7 years. So it was actually quite a long
period. And you no longer do executive search business anymore.
So when I set up my first center, 7 years ago, I actually stopped taking on the consultancy. So when I was doing half-half, I always used to say that the day job feeds me and the night job fulfills me. Yeah, till the time I actually are able to transition and my passion is able to pay my bills.
Right.
Yeah. So back then I was actually doing healing work from home.
You must be so tired. I mean, especially at that time, man.
Yeah.
You know, doing that job in a day because it's a job, but loving what you do at night because it's something that makes me whole.
Yes.
It must be so damn tiring. Right? Anyway, I think the wonderful part is that your company is a recipient for the 2022 SME Award.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And congratulations for that. I know.
Thank you.
I'm like 2 years too late, but it's the first time we've met today. So congratulations anyways.
Thank you, Chris.
Great, man. I can just imagine the amount of hard work that's been put into all these.
A lot of hard.
Oh, for sure. For sure. My curiosity is this. With all of these that you told me, the services that you guys offer, I mean, there's an interesting video I came across of you guys. Kai, can we play that one, please?
Oh, this.
This, yeah, that one. That one. Let me bring the volume down a little bit, otherwise you lose our ears. Okay, go right ahead, man.
Guiding you through this next hour of sound healing meditation, all you need is just find your Zen again. And then after that, I'll wake you up and gently remind you of the QR code.
Sounds absolutely amazing.
I will ease you through some breath work. So some parts of your body that used to be a little tight may actually intensify. What you need to do is to breathe into that body part and breathe out into the sound.
Can I focus that on my lower back?
Absolutely. Okay, so lie down and just breathe it in. And exhale with a loud inhale into the upper abdomen and breathe it out, everything else can wait.
Okay, Kai, thank you.
This is your time, your space.
Now. That thing is called, this is the stuff you have on my table today.
Yes, the sing bowl.
Yeah, and these are called sound bowls.
This is called the Tibetan singing bowls.
Oh!
Yeah, the Himalayas.
How come I keep seeing everywhere I find online, it just calls these things a sound bowl?
A sound bowl, because it makes sound.
But like, you're saying, but the actual name is that?
The Himalayas.
It's a Tibetan singing bowl.
That's right.
Okay. And it's from, of course, Tibet in the Himalayas. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you learned this there.
I learned from three different teachers.
Okay.
Yeah.
But there's an interesting picture of you in the Himalayas.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And Kai, can we have those shots? There you go. I mean, I gotta say though, those are great pics, man. The second one on the right, mm-hmm. you see the aura from the in the sky in the right. back. It was amazing.
That was the sunrise. We were there like about 5 a.m. in the morning. So yeah. This is 5 a.m.
I mean, people, take a look at that aura at the back of Shirley behind the mountains. It's amazing, man. And you were sitting? Please, don't tell me you were sitting on a cliff.
I was.
The one, the picture on the left?
Yes.
Why the heck do you have to sit on the cliff? And so right at the edge, man.
I mean, the thrill of it.
Okay, go come.
Because it was so, it was such a nice view. I couldn't miss it.
But hello, it's like an inch away from the, you know, dropping off.
Well, I was always at my edge. So,
oh man,
what is
you're
this?
One of those adrenaline. Are you an adrenaline junkie? Okay. I mean, you're supposed to be doing the wellness thing, but calm, you know, not
that's why,
you're adrenaline junkie.
That's because I'm calm. That's why I can do that. Not for
Okay, just tell me more. You had to go to the Himalayas. I mean, you said you learned from three different people?
Three different teachers.
Okay, but not all of them were from the Himalayas.
Well,
based there.
The first teacher was a Japanese. She learned from the different masters in Nepal.
Right.
So at that time, when time doesn't permit, so I actually learned from her.
Right.
So she traveled the Himalayas and learned from different teachers. So I learned from her.
Right.
And then my second teacher was an Indian.
Right.
So he actually taught it in a very scientific way.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the third teacher, which, you know, I went to the Himalayas, where I actually learned a very deep, profound way how to actually play it astrologically. To align a person. So there are different ways you can actually play. You can play harmonically.
Uh-huh.
You can actually play it. Also align the bowls according to the person's astrological sign.
Okay, hang on a sec. Huh? Let's talk about the astrological one. That one, did you learn, when you went to the Himalayas, when you went to Tibet, did you learn from a Buddhist Lama or monk or was it just a person?
No, he specialized in sound healing. He's a musician.
Ah, so it's not Tibetan Buddhism based?
No, not at all. It's not a religion-based therapy. In fact,
interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Okay. Sound therapy has been around for thousands of years.
Okay.
It's only in the 70s that scientists actually tried to research more on sound healing.
Right.
That this becomes popular.
Ooh, okay. Yeah. My only exposure to this singing bowl was when I went for massage in Lombok.
Nice.
And it was a beautiful resort.
Uh-huh.
And you know, of course, your usual massage bed with a hole, you know, for your face to go in. And
mm-hmm.
she put the bowl right there and she went ping.
Yeah.
And for me, I enjoyed it, but the wife didn't. The wife told me that she really hated it.
Mm-hmm.
She said that I think for her, mm-hmm. certain frequencies, she just hates.
Yeah.
I noticed that about her. I mean, we've been married almost 25 years. So I can tell you that
mm-hmm.
there are certain frequencies she just cannot accept.
Right.
You know, drives her up the wall,
right.
you know. But for me, I'm okay because mm-hmm. I'm quite all-rounded when it comes to sound and music, right? So I kind of enjoyed it. As a matter of fact, I think it did put me to sleep for a bit. But then again, no one ever explained to me the benefits of the singing bowl. Now that you've got it here, hey, mm-hmm. it's all yours, man. Give me some music.
Okay. So different sound bowl have a different frequency.
Right.
Like what you have just shared.
Uh-huh.
So, and it create actually a different effect. Tell me, how does this sound for you?
Bob Marley! I shot the sheriff!
Okay. And this sound, how do you feel?
Jimi Hendrix! Okay. I'm only kidding. You just do me a favor. Hit that one again.
Hit the first one again?
Yeah.
Okay.
What am I supposed to feel?
So when you listen, you don't only listen with your ears, but for sound healing, you listen with your entire being. Listen with your body.
I can just tell you what I feel.
Sure.
And the only thing I can tell you, how I can describe it to you, is that it's church bells.
Say that again?
It's like church bells. I love church bells. I love church bells, you know.
Okay, so what does church bells do to you? What does the sound do to you?
Makes me feel happy, safe, calm.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So this is the tone that will actually bring you calmness. What about this? Try this.
No, man.
What does it do to you? How do you feel?
Scary. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, let me try one more time, okay?
Yeah, okay.
With the mallet.
Okay. No, man, it just feels like doom and gloom.
Ah.
I don't like it at all.
You don't like it at all. See? So different frequency does different things for different people.
The can's on, right? I mean, in a mic picking it up, it's no, I do not like it. No, not at all, man.
Right.
No.
Because there is a resonance that this sound relates to the church bell that you like.
Yeah.
Yeah. So your mind actually connects with it, the familiarity.
Yeah.
And it calms you.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
For something, like I said, for people who are not used to sound, this is something very foreign to them. And it might trigger something within them.
Yeah.
That, you know.
That one makes me feel like the pit in my stomach. It feels like this impending doom that there is something standing behind me.
Really?
That kind of feeling. Yeah.
Okay. So this bowl, the frequency of this bowl actually opens up your consciousness.
Okay, so
it's okay. It helps with focus. It helps with focus, technically.
Mm-hmm.
So this brings on calmness. This is the tone for calmness. And
please,
this is the
please
tone.
Knock that one more time for me. Please,
sorry?
The calm one, the small
the
one.
The calm one? Yeah. Sure.
Sorry, yeah.
Not at all.
I'll be very serious with you. I don't know whether the viewers and listeners is going to be so skeptical or cynical of what I'm about to say, man.
Mm-hmm.
I ask you to hit that one again for me because this one is still sitting with me, man.
Mm.
It's still sitting with me.
It's still sitting with you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not a good thing.
Okay.
It's sitting with me.
That's okay.
Yep.
You just have to.
Wow. Wow. So what happens if you come across someone? Have you ever come across someone like me who would go, no, Shirley, this doesn't work? Have you ever come across people like me?
Of course.
Okay.
Of course, not everyone would resonate with sound.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What does it generally do for people, actually, besides calming them down?
Well, a lot of my students actually reported that they sleep better.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And again, people come... you know, like there was a lady who particularly came because she was recommended by her daughter.
Uh-huh.
She couldn't bend her knees.
Mm-hmm.
She was showing me before the class.
She couldn't bend her knees?
Bend her knees, yes.
Right.
And after that one session, she was squatting in front of me and showing me that the pain was completely gone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this is very good for pain relief, for headache, for migraine.
Right.
Yeah. So for a peace of mind.
Uh-huh.
Or even to gain clarity.
Okay.
So because what it does is that it actually helps to clear and release certain emotions.
Okay.
Energy blockages. So there are only two types of energy block. Either it is a habitual block where you're probably sitting for too long or you're in a certain position.
Mm-hmm.
So the energy gets stagnated. Okay. So we can actually move that energy through vibration, or certain pain, certain especially chronic pain,
mm-hmm.
is actually due to stuck emotion. That was actually, yeah. So either way, sound vibration actually helps to move this energy.
Where did this theory come from, if you don't mind my asking?
No, because sound actually works 4 times faster in water than through air. So our body is 70% water.
Right.
So with that sound frequency, it actually starts to move the stagnant energy, which is why, you know, whenever that is pain, there is an energy block. So once we actually clear the energy block, there's no pain.
Hey, you know something, what you just said to me, it's like people who said about snowflakes.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have certain music being played, nice music,
mm-hmm.
the snowflakes that fall, you know, they're all unique in their own way, put them microscopically, right?
Yes.
The design of each flake is beautiful.
Yes.
But when you have lousy, brackish music that's being played, then the snowflake looks awful.
That's right.
So we're talking about vibration.
Vibration,
here.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, Kai, hey, you listening to this, man? It's like our UFO shows, man. We're just talking about this in our Euphoria series, you know, about vibrations and signal frequencies, you know, that is interdimensional, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And here I have this person sitting with me in my studio talking to me about wellness, telling me about vibrations.
Yeah.
Good vibrations. Yeah. So, okay. So sound frequency has mm-hmm. got healing properties.
That's right.
To sum it up.
That's right.
But I also realize that you've got some bottles on my table there.
Well, these are essential oils.
Uh-huh. Can we put them right here so that we can take... Yeah, there you go.
Sure.
Okay. There you go. Okay. Kai, did we get this guy on camera? We do, right?
No.
No? Okay. Hang on a sec. Let me just move this. Have we got this now?
Yeah, no.
Here you go. Yay! Here?
Yeah.
There you go. Right. Okay, let me just put this on here. Ah, right, okay.
Okay, right. So right at the back.
Yeah.
Right here?
That will work, yeah.
Okay.
That's cool. Okay.
Cool, yeah.
Right, so the people can see what's that. So these are essential oils.
Essential oils.
We all know about essential oils. Maybe walk into the malls, you see certain brands there, we're not mentioning those names, and hey, we go in, we say, first thing I notice about these places, man, if I can... Mm-hmm. Just tell you by observation, yeah? If you walked into my studio, I don't know whether you smelt it firsthand. I noticed most of these places tend to just, you know, put on the lemongrass.
Yes.
It's always lemongrass.
You know why?
Why?
Lemongrass relaxes you.
Yeah, I love it, man.
Exactly. So when you're relaxed, you're happy. Your heart is open.
Yeah.
And you want to spend.
Okay, so tell me about this. I mean, now we know sound. Now we're going to talk about sense.
Sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, when the more, the scent basically,
mm-hmm.
Sound and scent are the most, what we call, common to most people.
Yeah.
Okay, because it's universal. Yeah, regardless of any religion.
Yeah.
And again, scent can actually, because it is also using the frequency and vibration of nature.
Okay.
Essential oil is an extract of the different parts of the plants.
Yeah,
exactly. And anything that is in nature has a high frequency and vibration. So again, these are what we call, strictly speaking, they are vibrational medicine to raise your vibration. So different emotion has a certain frequency.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so emotions such as fear, anxiety, depression carries a lower frequency.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you, in the very shortest period of time, bring up a person's frequency?
Mm-hmm.
It's through the senses.
Mm-hmm.
Senses and sound, auditory, all this mm-hmm. is connected to your subconscious mind.
Mm-hmm.
And the part of your mind, mm-hmm. okay, is connected to your emotion.
Olfactory.
olfactory, that's right, mm-hmm. the olfactory and also your hypothalamus that's connected to your emotion.
Mm-hmm.
So scent can bring up memories. Mm-hmm. It can also uplift you.
Mm-hmm.
It can also calm you down. Mm-hmm. So that's why I actually use essential oil as part of the therapy as right. an add-on to actually complement the therapeutic.
So you can basically use sound and scent in sound one therapy scent. Session.
Depending on what an individual needs, actually.
Yeah, of course, yes.
So, yeah. So I engage all the five senses or even the six senses.
Wait, six. Okay, wait. Gustatory, how about food, man?
Well, the sensation of perhaps the tactile, when we talk about the taste, sometimes they can scent, they can smell it through the essential oils.
So basically you're saying that whatever we smell, we can might also have a sense of taste about it.
Exactly.
So we're not talking about directly having some therapy with ingesting food. I mean, chocolates help. I mean, come on. I mean,
it has a high content of endorphin, so it keeps you happy.
I mean, what the hell, right? I mean, whoa. Yeah. Okay. So, sixth sense. What's that sixth sense we're talking about?
Intuition, your inner vision.
Oh my.
Yeah, because that's what we call the metaphysical aspect. Okay. It goes beyond your five senses. So the more we are able to engage our senses, okay, the more we are able to heal.
Ah, all right.
Okay, because the part where we hold our emotion,
is
also the part that actually manages our senses.
Right.
Our sensory functions. So, senses actually bring you easier and guided you into that particular emotion.
Okay.
Yeah. So, when we're able to anchor into a specific emotion, then they can actually trigger the imagery.
Right, right.
And from there, the imagery, we can actually anchor them into the experience.
Right.
And when people can anchor into the experience, it allows the emotional catharsis to actually happen. And because in healing, until you feel it, you can't heal it.
So you're saying that it's like Alcoholics Anonymous. You have to first acknowledge and admit that you have a problem. Find that problem, confront the problem, and then deal with the problem.
Is it something like that? The way you put it is, okay, so very similar. So be aware. So be aware of what you want to heal. Okay.
Yeah.
So again, if your life is going on well, you don't need therapy.
Right.
Okay. So therapy is basically, there is an objective to it. Mm. You find that things are not working.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you're trying to find a logical answers to it to bring your life back on track.
Okay.
So we always go with like, what exactly is the therapeutic contract with a client? Okay. Right. Say, I can't get to sleep. Like, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And so I help to first identify the root cause of what is causing the insomnia.
Okay.
So sometimes there could be two or three aspects in the life that the things are not working well. That's why it keeps the persons awake at night. Yeah. So I dive in directly straight into those issues.
Right.
Yeah. And once the issue is resolved and they can find an answer, a resolution to it. So first of all, when they come, I will always ask client, do you need clarity or do you need resolution?
Mm.
So sometimes they just need clarity.
Right.
Sometimes they said, okay, I need a resolution to a particular issue.
Okay.
And we will go on, you know, to take in more sessions with them until they resolve that.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. Wow. Ancestral energy healing. What is that?
Basically, people who don't believe in past life, we said that. So we do carry genes and DNA from our ancestors.
Sure.
So sometimes certain images that we see.
Yeah.
Could be due to an ancestral conditioning, a belief system or a programming.
Right, right.
Yeah. That actually exists in our DNA.
Right.
Which is causing the repeat pattern from happening because our life is primarily driven by our belief. Our belief will drive our habits.
But it's a cultural thing, don't you think so? I mean, isn't that more cultural than anything else? If you come from a family, for example, and I've seen many of these, it's just one example. If father's a gambler, grandfather's a gambler, father was also a gambler, chances of you being a gambler is bloody high, right? It's a vicious cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And someone in someone through the down, throughout that downline have got to decide to break out of that cycle, as an example. So that I wouldn't think that that's DNA. That I think that would be something that is embedded into a family's traditional culture or something.
But
like
again,
that.
When you talk about ancestral healing, we actually go back to again, with no judgment,
mm-hmm.
we go back to actually investigate
mm-hmm.
what causes the ancestors to even gamble.
Oh, I see. So you're saying going to the root cause of the challenge, where how is it they started into these things?
Exactly.
So what could be the cause of them getting into the habit? You
exactly.
mean?
Ah. Yeah. So for ancestral healing, people often come with a medical condition.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's when we go into ancestral healing,
okay.
where there is a repetitive pattern of a cancer or a mm-hmm. specific diseases.
Mm-hmm.
So what exactly is happening in along the ancestral line that is causing this recurring disease to happen? So once the current client understands that, they will be able to reverse that for their next for themselves and also for the generation down.
But surely,
the line.
Based on what you just said, you know, have you had? I don't know whether you have. If you have, please share with us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where Western medicine and would have come and argued with you guys about something like this. As much as I've heard also about the TCM sector, right?
Mm-hmm.
Western medicine would think that they're almighty, of course, you know, and they would say that. That this is, you know, cancer, diabetes, even stroke, hereditary in nature, you mm-hmm. know, passed down from the gene, you know,
mm-hmm.
and but here your take is that, or your discipline, you know, belief that what's the root cause, when Western medicine might debunk it by saying that it is hereditary. You know, so it's not about anything else. So have you encountered anything like that when these people come in, the naysayers come in and tell you that?
Well, they don't need to believe it. We just need to do it to actually prove
right.
it.
Right.
Yeah. So there is one example
sure.
of this Indian guy. He specifically came to me and asked me for hypnotherapy.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And his presenting condition is that he is diabetic.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the diabetes, so he actually, one of his eye is actually blind.
Okay.
90% blind.
Right.
And he says that it is basically there's a blood clot mm-hmm. on the optic nerve.
Okay.
Yeah. And because of his diabetic condition, he couldn't operate. The doctor couldn't operate on him.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So I actually used the hypnotherapy technique to first identify why was there even a blood clot.
Okay.
Yeah. What causes the blood clot? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So the first two sessions, we actually identify there was an emotion that actually caused the blood clot to happen.
There was an emotional.
It was fear.
There was a trauma.
So, correct. So went into the subconscious mind, because your subconscious mind actually registers everything.
Right, right.
So we identify that that was a two event during his childhood
yeah.
where he had a fear.
Right.
Yeah. He was literally poking a pencil into his friend's eyes.
Right. Okay. So there was amount of guilt.
There yeah. was amount of guilt.
Yeah.
Okay. And fear.
Yeah.
So that, and where did he hold it? In his eyes.
Ah.
Yeah. So when we went through the session and clear that energy imprint for him, and then he actually, and of course, by the third session when he came,
mm-hmm.
I actually asked him. So he says, I actually saw an optician and he will actually drain. He said that there's no medication for it. I have to go back to him every month
right.
to drain the blood clot.
Right.
So I actually detailed and asked him exactly the procedure that the optician did for him.
Right.
And I actually program it in his subconscious mind to program the blood clot, you know, to yeah. drain.
So it's like self-healing.
It's a self-healing. So
yeah.
the third session, so by the time we heal the root cause, the third session, I actually program the mind to actually do self-healing.
Yeah.
And a month later, he went back to the doctor.
Mm.
The doctor says, the blood clot is gone. What did you do?
Mm.
Yeah, the doctor was actually very surprised. So that was my first medical condition. And of course, there are also a lot of phobia and unexplainable like non-medical conditions that I have actually helped to resolve. And in the case of, again, there were also people with more severe diseases.
Mm-hmm.
In the case of cancer, we also helped to identify what exactly was the disease about.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So that's all hypnotherapy.
That's right.
Upon which I'm very, I mean, I understand well enough. Let's talk about family constellation. There are things here that I don't get at all. So, and this is the last thing I'm going to ask you before we end the show. So family constellation, what is that?
Basically, how we constellate the issue, okay? Where there is a field where we understand, okay, what exactly is the presenting issue, let's say, in the family, like in the case of an ancestor, mm-hmm. Co-related issue.
Yeah.
So we will constellate the disease. And from the constellation, we will be able to find out what exactly is the root cause of the disease.
What do you mean by constellate? Sorry.
It is basically a constellation of the family origin.
Right.
Okay. So we put up a different representative uh-huh. in a family. Let's say a presenting issue. Let's uh-huh. say in the case of a medical condition.
Right.
Okay. Let's say a disease that's actually going on. Let's say diabetes.
Sure.
So we will constellate like who exactly is the person having the disease. So we will have the person, individual people uh-huh. to represent the disease, to represent the family member that is having the disease.
Okay.
So when we actually constellate and we get different representatives
uh-huh.
to represent the particular character concerning either the disease of a family situation, and in that all-knowing field, the representative will start to feel and sense certain things, and they will start to articulate, and the disease will start talking.
Huh?
So from there, we will understand where is the origin of it coming from.
And what is it? Okay, wow. So once you're able to understand and you discover the origin, what would usually the next steps be?
Well, if it is a belief system, mm-hmm. we start changing the belief system.
Okay. Right. Okay. So basically, you can have different modalities being used on a patient or a client to treat something, isn't it? It's not just one particular modality.
Yeah, we can constellate. Yeah, exactly. So we are not modality focused, but mm-hmm. we are client focused. So mm-hmm. when clients come to us, mm-hmm. we will actually assess and based on what is the best way forward to help them resolve their issues. Yeah.
Wow.
So from there, when they gain that clarity and they say that, hey, this is the issue, because usually these are all emotional related
mm-hmm.
issues mm-hmm. that we couldn't resolve. The mm-hmm. energy got stuck there through different generation. And you see, when trauma happened, we formulate certain belief system, and that gets to carry down.
You know why I'm smiling? But I'm smiling because it brings back memories of my episode 1 of season 2 with Dr. Alison Tay, when I kept going, "What the hell is this yin yin yang, man?
Yeah,
and this chi thing, you know? Uh-huh. You know, Chris, is when something gets blocked along the highway, they got a roadblock, and here you go. I have you now telling me, you know, you got emotional blockage. I said, jeez. I tell you, the more I do these shows, man. Oh, wow. You know, I'm not being skeptical. I'm not being cynical. I'm not making fun of you and what you do. Don't get me the wrong way.
No. Not at all.
Oh, man. But you know, it just brings back a lot of memories of people I've spoken to and so many similarities in so many different disciplines. And it's quite interesting, to be fair, you know. Right. You're doing great. You got a new center coming up, launched.
Yeah.
Launched. It's just been a matter of 2 days. And, you know, once again, congratulations for that.
Thank you, Chris.
And you know, you're doing great because, I mean, I mean, you've got lots of corporate clients as well, right?
Yes,
yeah. I do. And so amazing to see that, you know, you did that switch. You have been through all that trauma personally and built your way to where you are. I mean, basically, as far as I can basically feel, man, all that effort. And if you don't mind me asking, I think we're about the same vintage.
I'm not sure.
I'm 54. I'm way younger. You're way younger.
I'm 50.
Okay, well done. Stupid you, Chris. Okay, right. well, cool. Welcome to the big five. Anyway, and yeah, you know, I mean, we're not that different in age. And I can just feel all of that work, all of that pain, and building your way where you are is an inspiration. Can you just give, you know, what does Shirley Tay have to say to anyone out there today working, being a person who was formerly a headhunter, you know, and not doing what you do and doing great at it? For anyone that's out there contemplating a mid-career change, what would your message be?
Just follow your heart, follow your passion. It will guide you the way.
Okay. And before we end the show, before we say goodbye, Shirley, what future plans are in store for Shirley Tay?
To be honest, no plan. No plan is the best plan. Honestly, I did not plan for the second center.
Okay.
Once you have no plan, because the planning is always from the mind, then you allow the divine to work through you.
Wow. Okay.
For a bigger plan, because the divine has a greater plan for you.
So you're saying.
So, and how do I get there? Again, it goes with your passion, because your heart knows the way.
Okay. So basically, in Chris Hansen's speak, it is my tulio. And again, in Chris Hansen's speech would be, you know what? Don't think. Fuck it. Go and do. Yes.
Just do it. Because you know why?
Yeah,
you only live once.
Yeah, man.
And again, what is there to lose?
Yeah, right. I mean, a lot to lose, lah. But you only live once.
You only live once.
And if you don't do it now, when the hell are you going to do it? If it has to be me, it's got to be me, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So when I left my career, corporate career, again, I was doing well.
Yeah.
I tell myself, what is there to lose? I just try 1 year. If it doesn't work, I can always come back.
Wow. It's the coming back part that's painful, isn't it? I mean, thinking about if it doesn't work, then I go back to this or go back to what I was. You know?
Well, that's why I said that you have to find something that is you're so passionate about that the passion overrides your fear.
Right.
Because I truly believe, because something just struck me when I got healed.
Mm.
What is the meaning of healing?
Right.
Healing means being full and complete again.
Okay.
So when you actually experience that completeness, there's no turning back.
Mm.
And to be honest, when I first started my, you know, I go into healing, I wasn't even earning as much as I was.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't the money anymore. It wasn't the money. A lot of people considered because of practical reasons.
Yeah.
And again, that's why I said in my story, I used the shortest possible time to get my basic need met first. So I actually did a logical calculation. How much do I actually need?
Yeah.
How much is my safety
you
net?
Use your
How
head.
Much is my buffer?
You
need to use your head first.
Yeah.
Then your head and your heart has to work in synchronicity, because your heart knows the way.
Mm-hmm.
So again, I told you I am a logical person.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, okay, if again, fear is a good emotion to have.
Okay.
So
keeps you alive.
It keeps you alive. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that is, again, we need to be able to pay our bills.
Right.
Okay. So once that is taken care of, I did the sum. Then I said, all right. Then the heart takes over.
Okay. I hear you. Last question. Very, very last question. Throughout the time you started doing this, haven't you come across people who would have seen this as mumbo jumbo.
Oh, yes. You know my nickname? My daughter called me a white witch when I first started. And because of this, I remembered that. And that's why I said, you just wait. You wait. And I actually told her that, okay, because I want to actualize this. And that's why that was my motivation to set up my first center.
Okay.
Yeah. So when I first set up, my center, and I deliberately go into corporate just to prove to them, my family members, that I am not mumbo jumbo.
Okay.
Because this stuff really works and I'm able to actually contribute this, you know, learning and share this in the corporate world. And if you can get into the corporate world, again, this is actually a testimony as much as close as I can get to actually showcase that this stuff works because we teach it scientifically.
And you got the big boys out there, corporate clients who actually use you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Frequently enough, right?
Very big one. Like, okay. You know, so.
So I'm going to do you guys a favor. Redefine Wellness. Here we go. If you guys need to get yourselves fixed. Is that right?
Thank you so much. No, not fit. Fit, you go into the gym. But you need to be mentally fixed. And initially.
If you need to get fixed. If you need to get fixed. Okay, you go to Redefine Wellness.
Not they really will, fixed. I would, if you want to be well, if you want to be emotionally, mentally, spiritually well, come to us. No one needs to fix. I really appreciate your calling, Chris. But I truly believe that people don't need fixing. People need to be understood and people need to be loved.
Okay, if you need to be loved, can we put that up again, please, Kai? If you need to be loved, go to Redefine Wellness. They will redefine wellness for you. You can reach their contacts all there. Shirley's contacts are also there. So make sure you go down to Redefine Wellness and you walk out of that place a new person.
Thank you so much, Chris.
Not at all. And unequivocally, I want to state that this particular episode, it is not sponsored. I am not getting paid. So if you're thinking that, I'll give you the birdie. Yeah, not happening. No, this is not a paid episode. It's not a sponsored episode. I invited Shirley Tay here. And also because I tell you, because I think the subject's interesting. And I think sometimes you just need to go a bit left field and take a look at, just be open a little bit and find out a little bit more. Be curious, okay? And why not? Why the hell not? Go down to Redefine Wellness and do something for you. And thank you, Shirley, for being on the show.
Thank you so much, Chris, for inviting me.
No, not at all. I'm so glad that you're here. And I'm so glad you're enjoying what you do. And I wish you all the very, very best.
Thank you.
All right, everybody. We are episode 5 for season 3 of the Chris Hansen Conversation. The next couple of ones you'll find will be transitioning very soon to another vertical. And that would be our tribute to Singapore's music icons. Oh man, conversations have been riveting there. Yes, we have shot those already. So make sure that you catch those episodes. And again, this is Chris Hansen. I am going to go and feed myself with some good vibrations. Bye bye.